Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight and give all honor, glory, and praise to you. Thankful, Lord, for you being a good God, a God who continues to shower us with your blessings from heaven and who's blessed us with another opportunity in life on this earth. We pray, Lord, that we take advantage of this opportunity tonight and listen with the ears you have given us and discern with the heart that you have given us and to understand with the mind that you have blessed us to have your perfect will about your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, tonight that we lay aside the philosophies of men and those things that are the wisdom of this world and have the humility to accept your word as holy and divine. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone is seeking your Son, Jesus, this evening. Thank you for placing Brother Kitwell in their path. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. We're very thankful to have each and every person on tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brook, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're very thankful to have each and every person on tonight that have joined us, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and you're distinguished guest of our audience, and we appreciate you being on. We encourage you now to open your Bible and study with us as our speaker will talk about those things that pertain to the Scripture, especially pertaining to the saving of your precious soul. Our speaker tonight is a person, Brother Tim Kitwell. He's the minister of the Branson, Missouri Church of Christ, and we had his elder on last night, Brother Blaine Orr, and we had a great time last night. And tonight, Brother Tim will talk about the philosophy of vain deceit. The Bible says in Colossians 2:18, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. All right, Sound of the Trumpet has been our theme for the whole month of January, and we've had elders and preachers on. And tonight our last speaker is a preacher from Branson, Missouri. He's going to blow his trumpet about this matter. Brother Kitwell, do it. Go ahead and blow.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. It is indeed my pleasure and an honor to be able to participate in this nationwide gospel meeting conference call. We welcome those who are listening on the telephone as well as those who may be watching on our Branson Facebook page. We're broadcasting live also this event. So thank you once again for allowing us to come into your home. We're going to be talking tonight about philosophy. Now, don't tune me out. I know as soon as I say that, you're thinking, well, that means we're going to go deep. This is going to be a deep intellectual discourse, and it's going to probably become dry and boring. Well, I can assure you it's going to be far short of being deep. And you may say, well, how can you assure me that? Well, because I have to understand it, and I do understand it, and I know if I understand it, you can understand it. Philosophy, what is it? Well, it just simply means man's wisdom. In Greek, it literally means the love of wisdom. So a philosopher is going to be a person who offers views and theories about old profound questions that have to do with many different things, ethics, metaphysics, logic. And they'll ask things like, what's the purpose of man? Where did man come from? And then you said this wasn't going to be deep. Well, stay with me. The philosopher, while he is going to give us profound arguments and statements and conclusions, you have to understand that he's giving us his view. He's given us his theories. And so these are his opinions. He's going to tell us what he thinks, what he feels, what he believes, and that's his opinion. And the bottom line is, if the philosopher is correct in what he's saying, if his conclusion is correct, you can be sure of one thing. The Bible has already said that. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Peter wrote, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, wait a minute. By his divine power, he's what? Given us all things. Now, if we have all of something, what's missing? Nothing. Do we have all? There's nothing. Listen, well, God has given us all things that pertain to what? Life. Isn't that what the philosophers are trying to do? Tell us the meaning of life, where did we come from, what's going to happen. God has given us all things that pertain to the answer to all those questions that have to do with life. Anything that we're going to face in life, we have to answer in God's word. And if we want to live the way God would have to live, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through how the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. If you want to know the answer of life, everything that pertains to life, if you want to know the answer of how to live a life that will be pleasing to God, then the answer is going to come from God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, notice the word, that the man of God may be complete. Now, if something is complete, what's missing? Well, certainly nothing. If it's complete, we have everything. There's nothing else to be added to it. The man of God will be complete by the scripture of God, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So again, I say, if the philosopher comes to the correct conclusion, then understand this. God already gave us that answer. But if that philosopher is wrong, you don't want to have anything to do with it because it's going to be vain. It's going to be empty. So the question that we might ask then is, should we not desire wisdom? Well, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, we read, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Well, here we have God telling us, a happy man is a wise man. He finds wisdom. Proverbs 16 and verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So just based upon those two passages, we find that God is saying, yes, I desire that you be wise. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent his disciples out, in verse 16, he said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. So, the mouth of the righteous speak wisdom. Matthew 25, verse 46, we learn that only the righteous will be in heaven. So, if you are righteous according to God, you are going to have wisdom. You are wise. But then we're warned in Proverbs 3 and verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. See, what we have to understand when we talk about wisdom is there are two types of wisdom. James talks about those two types in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Read it with me. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So James tells us there's two types of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, human wisdom, that's sensual, demonic wisdom. Jeremiah tells us about that type of wisdom in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, where he says, the wise men shall be put to shame. How can a wise man be put to shame? Because God tells us if you're wise, we're going to be doing what he would have us to do, that we're going to be righteous. Obviously, if we're wise, according to what Jeremiah's saying, he's talking about wise according to man. Human wisdom. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? And then again, James tells us the second wisdom is that wisdom that's from above, heavenly wisdom, the wisdom of the righteous, James 1 and verse 5. James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments. Now, about this time, somebody might say, well, these philosophers, they're experts. They studied. They've spent a lot of time being taught and thinking and pondering. And they're experts. They say, well, they are the experts, but I would have you remember, I would remind you that experts built the Titanic, and it sunk on its maiden voyage. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Sadly, human wisdom has made its way into the church. Paul, an inspired apostle, in writing to Christians, had to deal with that in the first century. Writing to the church, the brethren at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, Paul said, beware, be cautious, be alert to danger, beware lest anyone cheat you, that is, rob you, take something away from you that is of value. Well, what is it? Since he's writing to them about spiritual things, he's talking about something that's spiritual that's going to be taken away. That would be their salvation. Beware lest anyone cheat you through a philosophy, an empty deceit. Philosophy? Man's wisdom. Empty deceit? Well, deceiving somebody means that they're involved in concealing or misrepresenting the truth. Don't allow man's wisdom to cheat you of your salvation. Don't allow their empty deceit, the untruth that they're going to tell you, to rob you of your salvation. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. How is it that they steal from us? Philosophy, man's wisdom. There are actually some preachers who teach human philosophy in the religious world today. They use empty, deceiving words. They're like what Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. When talking about those false teachers, he said they're like wells without water. What's that mean? Well, it's like someone who's just thirsting to death. Their mouth is so dry, so parched, and they know the well is right up there on top of the hill. And so they're finding their way to get up there. They just can't wait to get a cool drink of water. Their body needs to be refreshed. It needs that. And there's the promise of that cool, refreshing water at the well. And they let the bucket down, and it hits clunk, dry ground. Oh, the well was promising them to quench their thirst. That's what the false teachers do. They promise you that you're going to receive happiness, that you can be right with God if you'll just listen to them and do what they tell you to do. But they're deceiving you. They're wells without water. They have empty, deceiving words. Galatians chapter 1, Paul writing to the brethren in Galatia, said beginning in verse 6, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. If someone has taught you here's what the Bible says to do. And they held the Bible in their hands and said, here's what God would have you to do. But you can't find that in God's Word. Paul said, that's a different gospel. That the person that would teach you that, let them be accursed. And you say, well, certainly that's not the case where my preacher is concerned. He's so gentle. He's so kind. When he speaks, he's so loving and he's so soft-spoken. How could he be wrong? And his presentation just makes me feel so close to God, just listening to him speak. Galatians 1, verse 10, Paul said, or do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul said, I'm not concerned with whether or not somebody likes the way I preach. I'm not preaching so that man will like me. I'm not preaching so that man will approve of me. I'm preaching so that God will approve of me, the message that I'm presenting. Is that what your preacher's doing? But he says it in such a... So it's how the word is spoken, certainly. Certainly when someone is preaching God's word, they should not try to cause someone harm by the way they say something. But that reminds me of the parable of the souls in Luke chapter 8, where the sower went out to sow, and Jesus talked about how the seed fell, different types of land. There was good land. There was stony land. There was land that was by the wayside. There was land that was shallow. And the soil, and he explains that the souls refer to the person who's hearing God's word. And the seed is the broadcasting. The sower is broadcasting God's word. Could you imagine that a soil saying to itself, well, I'm not going to grow this seed because he threw that seed down harder on me than he threw it on that portion of the land over there. And you say, well, no, that's not possible. We could do something like that. But think how silly that is. And at the same time, Jesus said, the seed represents God's word and the land represents the person's heart. And yet there are people that would say, I'm not going to pay attention to that preacher because I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like his tone of voice. I don't like the fact that he raises his voice. And what we need to be concerned about is he preaching God's word? Is he preaching the truth? Are you checking to see whether those things that he's saying are so that it is from God? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15, Paul said, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You hear what Paul said there? Satan has the capability of transforming himself into a preacher of righteousness. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, think about it. The devil can quote scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus went into the wilderness after his baptism, and the devil appeared to him and tempted him three different times. In the second temptation, where he took him up on the high place in the temple, and he told him to cast himself off, the devil says, for it is written, the angels take guard over you. You'll not be allowed even to dash your foot against the stone. See, even the devil can quote scripture. And so just because a preacher stands there with a Bible in his hand and he does use some scripture out of God's word, doesn't mean that he's teaching you what God would have you to know. You see, I can take a scripture out of context and make it mean just about anything that I want it to mean. But if my understanding of one passage contradicts my understanding of another passage, then I can know for sure that I have misunderstood one or both of those passages, because God is not the author of confusion. God's word is not going to contradict itself. And so Paul goes on in talking about those who would cause us to be divided over God's word in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. He wrote, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Did you hear what he said? We can be deceived into believing a lie by smooth words, flattering speech. But he goes on to say, but only the hearts of the simple are going to be deceived like that. And we say, well, I don't like the sound of that. If you're trying to say that I could possibly have been deceived because I'm simple, well, the only reason we can fall into the category of being simple, having a simple heart, is if we're not checking to see whether or not we're being told. I say quite regularly when I preach, I'll tell my brethren, don't you believe it just because I stood here with a Bible in my hand and I said, here's what the Bible says. You check it out. You check to see if what I'm saying is what the Bible truly says. And if you think that I have misrepresented God's word, that I've missed the mark, then you come with your Bible, open it up, we'll sit down and we'll study together. And if you can show me that I've missed the mark, first of all, understand this, you're my best friend. Because that tells me that you love God's word so much and you love my soul so much that you're willing to sit down. It could be an uncomfortable situation to approach the preacher and say, I think you messed up here. And if I've messed up, I'll be the first to admit it. You're my best friend because I want to teach what is right. Be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, Paul said. Be wise with wisdom from learning God's word. Is that what you're receiving where you worship? Are you open to all of God's truth or just to what makes you feel good? Just with what you agree with because that's what you've always heard. Have you checked to see whether the things being said are so? In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 2 through 4, Paul, in writing to this young preacher, said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn the ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Are you listening to the truth? Is your preacher telling you the truth, or is he telling you what you want to hear? You say, well, would a preacher actually teach something that's wrong just because they think people want to hear that? Well, Peter tells us that's the case in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And talking about those who would teach error, he says, many will follow them and follow their destructive ways. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. You see, there are some preachers that are in the business just to say what they think people want to hear. It'll make them happy, and they'll get paid. Covetousness. I recall one time watching a religious program one Sunday night where a man stood out in the river and he waved his hands and he said he was blessing the river. And he told people if they would just send $20 that he would send them a baggie of water that had been blessed. And then later he'd tell them what to do with it. And then a few weeks later he was back on the TV and he was showing where he had been out there in the river blessed. And he said, and many of you have sent in for this blessed water. Now get your bag out and put your billfold on the table. And now I want you to pour that water that's the blessing of God upon your billfold. And he was telling them that if they would do that, that they were going to prosper beyond belief, that God was going to bless them. Well, you know what happened? Their billfolds got wet. They were being taught something that the Bible does not teach. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Do you have a good understanding? Are you studying to show yourself approved, as Paul told Timothy? Are you a workman who is not ashamed of his work? Are you able to rightly divide the word of God? See, if you can't rightly divide the word of God, then you're going to be ashamed of your efforts as a child of God. A wise person understands and obeys God's commandments, which means you need to spend time in that word, not listening to the wisdom of man, what he thinks, what he feels, what he believes. This Sunday, when you're in worship and your preacher begins to preach, I want you to count. How many times did he say, well, I think, I feel, I believe, because you see, what he thinks, feels, and believes is not what's important. It's what God's word says. And that's all that matters. Have you obeyed God's instructions on the very basic of how to become one of his children? I'm not saying have you done what some preacher has told you to do. The man that was holding the Bible that told you that all you need to do, trust me and just do what I say, and you're going to go to heaven. Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What's going to save you is not going to be what the preacher says with his smooth, soft words. It's going to be him repeating what God has said in his book. The power to save is in the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel command of how to become a child of God? Before Jesus left this world, after his resurrection, he was about to ascend into heaven, and he had his apostles there with him. And basically, as I paraphrase, he says, now I'm about to leave this earth, and the work that I began, I'm turning it over to you. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. But then verse 16, he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. Now, there are those that have been taught, all you need to do is say a prayer and you'll be saved. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation. There's no damnation. There's no going to hell to those who are in Christ Jesus. You have to be in Jesus to be saved. Where in the Bible does it say we pray ourselves into Jesus? It's not there. Where in the Bible does it say that we confess ourselves into Jesus? It's not there. Where in the world does it say in the Bible that we believe ourselves into Jesus? It's not there. But Galatians 3, verse 27 says, we are baptized into Christ. So if there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, if you say, well, I've been saved, and I was saved, and then I got baptized. Some people say, well, you know, yeah, I was baptized. Well, what was the purpose of it? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What's the purpose of that baptism? Well, think about this. After Jesus told them that, he ascended into heaven. The apostles went into Jerusalem, and we read there in Acts chapter 1, 2, about how they came together, and then the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they began to speak with these different tongues, different languages. And all these people gathered there around the temple, and they're saying, what is this? What do you mean, what is this? Well, they heard this sound of wind, but they didn't see the effect of the wind. And now they've got these uneducated men who are able to speak in these different languages. What's this? What is this? And Peter got up and said, this is the what? The prophet Joel said it's going to take place in the last days when God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And he talked about how miraculous things were going to take place. And then he went on to explain how, and Jesus, the Son of God, you murdered him. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, Acts 2 and verse 37, and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what are they saying? They've just been told that they killed the Son of God. And so they're wanting to know if they can make this right with God. How can we ever go to heaven? What must we do? And Peter said, well, if you'll just say this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart. No, that's not what he said. Now remember, this is the first time anybody has ever asked the question, what do I need to do to be saved? After Jesus' death, after his resurrection, this is the first sermon that's been taught. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is the first time they've done that. He who believes what you preach and is baptized shall be saved. These people said, what do we need to do to be saved? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered and said to them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Why do they need to be baptized for the remission of their sins? Because, you see, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're baptized in the Christ. And we're baptized by the authority in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of our sins. Is that what you were taught? You see, if you weren't taught that, you need to ask your preacher why he would teach you that all you need to do is something other than what these people who obeyed the very first gospel sermon, when they were pricked in their heart, what do I need to do to be right with God? Nothing was said about prayer. It was all, did you hear what I said? Did you believe what I said? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to repent of the sin that's in your life? Then you need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you done it? If you haven't, you need to find someone that you can speak to help you with that. A member of the Church of Christ, someone who put you in contact with this program tonight may be the best place to start. Or you can visit a Church of Christ in your area and find the answers. They'll be glad to study with you. I'll be glad to study with you by email if you'd like to contact me. But brethren, don't listen to what man has to say, what he thinks, what he feels, what he believes. It's thus saith the Lord. Thank you for listening.
Wow. And thank you, my brother. We appreciate you so very much. We're so thankful for the Branson, Missouri Church of Christ. Brother Kidwell, you did an outstanding job tonight. He has talked about tonight the importance of understanding the difference between what man says simply and what God has said. That's what it comes down to. It's vain. It's meaningless. What man say about what to do to be saved has no meaning. It's vain, meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless, said the preacher. All is meaningless. It's vain. It leads to vain worship. And he's done a great job tonight of presenting that truth to us. And we hope tonight, if you're on the call, you are considering what you're believing and why you believe it, where it came from, who taught you this, did it come from the Bible, did it come from the truth, is it philosophy, will it have any meaning to the salvation, the saving, rather, of your soul. If you're on the call tonight, not a member of the Church of Christ, we have put this call on with you in mind. We wanted you to hear these things. And we know that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, who you gave on, and he gave his life on the cross. And Lord, we love you for loving us, Father. And we love Jesus for loving us and going through that cruel, humiliating, and painful death on the cross. For 6 long hours, he suffered, bled, and died to save our souls. And we're so thankful tonight. Our program, Father, is bringing glory to you, we pray. But we want you to know how much we love you for that. But we realize we've fallen short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of your love, the agape love, you gave us a chance to be saved and a chance to repent and be baptized, be a member of your son's church, which wears his name, the Church of Christ, to take communion every Sunday, to sing without help of mechanical instruments and music, to preach nothing but the word of God without manual creeds, catechisms, and those kind of things that came from man. No vain philosophy, vain deceit, the simple truth from you. And we pray you will bless our program. We pray you a special blessing upon the Branson, Missouri Church of Christ. Brother Orr, Brother Tim Kidwell, we pray you bless them and their ministries, their congregation, and their members. And we pray you bless our members all across the nation, all the brethren who've been on our call, the preachers, the elders for this month. Bless those congregations, Father. And we thank you for the members of the Church of Christ who support simple and plain gospel sermons that still love the gospel, still love the simple truth. We thank you for those who have prayed for us in our program. Father, we thank you for those who support us every night, 18 to 2,000 plus callers every night. Thank you for those brothers and sisters across the nation who love you and love the gospel. Thank you for those who supported us financially, even though we didn't have to ask, because in their hearts they saw a need to support such a powerful ministry. And Lord, we know the pandemic has been a stress on the world. When we sit through this program, you've provided us an opportunity we never had to reach those who may have never heard of the Church of Christ or the simple truth of which we proclaim. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the month of January, a powerful month of proving that we have preachers and elders, scripturally organized congregation, that men who qualify can proclaim, defend the truth as written in your word. Thank you for all the brothers, all the preachers, all the elders who joined us this month. And we pray, Father, your blessing upon us as we continue this evangelistic outreach to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. And then special prayer for those members who have departed from the faith, that they will learn from this program that they need to return to the simple truth as written in your scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to thank everybody. We love y'all. Pray for us. Continue to support us. May God bless you. We love you. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Get ready for Sunday morning. The first day of the week, we sing, pray, commune, give, and hear the preacher word. Brother Brooks, Tommy Brooks, minister of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights, host minister of Nationwide Gospel Call. We sign off for this week. Have a good night.